My next guest has been on Saturday Night Live since 2002. He's known for his range of eccentric characters, from a deaf and racist stand-up comic to Iranian President Ahmadinejad. Recently, he added another name to that roster by becoming SNL's in-house Barack Obama. I'm very happy to welcome Fred Armisen to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But that's not what I'm well known for on the show, is all these characters and stuff. I'm known for my looks,
okay,
and my bone structure and my handsome face, my physique.
So it's handsome good looks.
I would say it's like the good-looking guy of the show.
I see.
So, I can understand that you would think it was about the characters and all.
You're talking about Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
With Seth Meyers and Jason Sudeikis.
Those guys are more known as the sort of, you know, those are the character-y, impression-y guys. I'm the sort of hunk of the show.
I see. Okay, well, let's hear Hunk Fred Armisen play a clip of Barack Obama.
The press has been hearing the same old refrain. Just give us the news, not your personal opinions. And they're tired of it. They're tired of being told you journalists have to stay neutral. You can't openly take sides in a political campaign. And they're saying, yes, we can. Yes, we can take sides. Yes, we can.
Now, how did you get Barack Obama? How did that happen? Were you recruited? Did you say, you know, I'd like to try out for Obama? How did that happen on the show?
Lauren just asked me one day. It was like, I think the same week that we were in production, he just said, do you want to give it a try? And, you know, my answer to everything is always yes. I go, that sounds fun to me. So why not?
Now, there is actually a black cast member on the show, Kenan Thompson. Is he upset? Is he like, hey, dude, you're kind of stealing my action?
I wasn't aware that Kenan was black. This is news to me.
You know, he's an African-American person.
Well, I'm going to have to call him up. I've got a lot of, I'm going to discuss some things with him.
Now, when you do Barack Obama, they do.
I go into a trance. I don't remember it. I go into a trance.
It's not, they don't have you in blackface, but they have you in deep tan sort of makeup. Does that feel uncomfortable? Is that process at all? Or is it just like, this is what I got to do?
I have a stand-in who does all that stuff. So that's whatever they do to him is what, you know.
Were you hesitant playing somebody of a different race? I mean, you do that often. You play Native American characters. You play Prince. Does that feel strange, or is it just another character?
I don't really know. I'm not hesitant to, I'm not, you know, hesitation isn't something that I really think about. Mm-hmm. I just think, I hope I get all the words right on the cue card. I hope that I stand on the right mark, and I hope that, you know, I have a good time when we're doing the rehearsals. And so that's really all I think about.
I guess when you have,
everything goes by in such a flash, right. You know, like, the week goes by really quickly. The show goes by really quickly. The rehearsals and so it's just all a flash, you know.
Would you say that you are actively eager that Obama will win so that you can continue doing the impression? Are you like going to rallies for him?
I feel like I just want whoever is the Democrat to win. You know, whoever the nominee is. So that doesn't like push my political agenda, but. If it's not him, I'll find someone fun to do, you know. But I met him, and he was super, super nice. Super, what a nice guy.
He came on the
show,
he's
really
right?
Charismatic, yeah. Really? And so was Hillary when she came around, too. She was super friendly and great.
You know who they also say is friendly is George Bush.
For real?
He's the guy you want to have a beer with. That's the thing.
It'd be interesting to meet him because he's the president. I'd be like, oh, my God, I'm talking to the president.
I think you could meet him.
It can happen.
If you just knock on the door and ask.
Daryl Hammond's met all the presidents that he's done and.
His McCain is unbelievable.
It's crazy. It's great.
The weird thing about Daryl Hammond, and I don't, maybe, do you feel any impersonation insecurity being around Daryl Hammond? Because you do a lot, but Daryl Hammond is like ridiculous.
He's ridiculous. But he also, at the same time, he has the same insecurities. And he, like, which is really nice. Like, he's always still working on it. His dressing room is next to mine, and he's always listening to tapes, and he's always working on it.
He does, of course, he does sort of, Clinton is probably his most famous thing.
Yeah.
He does, and he does Donahue. He does sort of like everybody. He's
brilliant. And he gives good advice, and he's just good at, he's still learning, which is the best thing, you know, that a person can do.
I remember when you were cast on SNL, I guess it's 5-6 years ago.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You weren't known necessarily as a comedy entity. You were a drummer for the band Trench Mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
And oddly, you did some drumming for the Blue Man Group.
Yeah, yeah.
what was that like, making that transformation from music into the comedy world?
It was really crazy. I'm still blown away by it. The moment that it happened, when I got the audition, even walking into the building, was an incredible moment, and I'm still going through it. Like, I still think that's recently that I was playing the drums.
Right.
So I'm still amazed by it.
How much pure comedy were you doing before being cast on SNL?
Only a little. I did some stuff. I used to do like some stand up,
uh-huh.
and I made some videos and stuff for HBO. So it was like a fairly new thing to me.
Do you regret switching away from music?
No, I'm really happy. I'm really glad. Because just physically, like, I have to carry fewer things. Like, being in music, and I really mean it, being in music is just lifting so much stuff upstairs.
It's manual
out of
labor.
Vans. It's total manual labor. Like, upstairs, out of vans, into, like, the backstage and up, you know, up onto the stage, taking it down your drums. It is really physically exhausting. So I'm really psyched not to have to do that anymore.
When, obviously, SNL has a lot of great musical acts. Do you, when drummers come in, do you ever, like, sort of talk shop? Are there
all the time? Yeah, yeah. I met Steve Gadd, who plays with Paul Simon, and I got him to teach me 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Really?
So that was great.
I could start singing, and it would be the cheesiest radio moment in the history of the world.
But also, see, cheesy is lovable too. We would both be lovable for those few seconds,
that brief moment in our lives.
Yeah. No, I talk to drummers there all the time. That's always really great.
Uh huh.
Yeah,
that's cool. So yeah. Now you have this sort of side project on the web. It's called Thunder Ant.
Yeah,
with Kerry Brownstein of Slater Kinney. You guys do sort of short comedic videos.
Yeah,
I guess it's sort of like a Wayne's World with music. Kind of. Wayne's World does have music, so it's just, so you've just stolen Wayne's World. That's what we've come down
we
to.
We just stole it.
In one of them, you play Saddam Hussein as sort of like a has-been kind of rock star.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with Saddam Hussein.
Actually, you know what? Let me play this clip. We can hear the clip and then tell us about it.
Nice, nice. That's cool. Yeah. Was that your own song that you were doing?
Oh, it's just a bit of, you know, I screw around on it, not because I'm trying to write anything, but it's more like I do like playing and I do like music. We used to do things around Baghdad. We'd go down to, like, around Kuwait. And, you know, we'd sell our own merch. Those days are great when you're starting out.
Yeah, were you screening your own T-shirts and stuff?
Oh, yeah. So we had, like, the Iraqi flag here, picture of me, and you sell it. And even if you make, like, 50 rubles, you know what I mean? It's like, it's our shirts.
So you said you're obsessed with Saddam.
Yeah. Those last days that he was in court, he really struck me as he just seemed like an aging rock star. His suit... the way he carried himself, his anger, mm-hmm. the amount of gray hair that he had. He just reminded me of a combination of Pete Townsend and Joe Strummer. Somewhere in there, Mick Jones maybe. And every picture I saw of him, I was like, he's just like this old British rock star.
He's the sort of person that a one-legged ex-wife would want to sue.
Yes, and take all that money. Oh my God, how much money? That's so crazy.
She did. It's not as much as she wanted.
Can you imagine? Oh,
I'm going to sue you, Fred Armisen.
Please sue me for $50 million or pounds or whatever.
Now, for the last thing, Fred, I want you to settle an office bet. You have a character who is, he's like a riffing comedian on the news.
Yeah, yeah.
And he brings out a newspaper and he he's going to tell some crazy joke.
Yeah.
And the sort of the punchline is he never actually tells a joke.
He never finishes the sentence.
I insist that is written because it is too, you don't finish so plausibly that you couldn't be improvising that. And other people insist that you are improvising.
It's weird. Even the second time, there were two performances where there were comedians. Nothing that's scripted, I think in comedy history or even performance history, was ever planned to such an extent that a script, any given moment of comedy will always at least be the catalyst for even, I have a good friend of mine, a good buddy who does comedy. And there are 15 different clubs around the nation. I would hope, my one wish, I think any DJ, look, radio will always...
if I didn't stop you, you would do it for 25 minutes.
Yeah, I would.
All right. Thank you. Thank you for visiting with us, Fred.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Fred Armisen is an actor and comedian on Saturday Night Live. To learn more about him, visit our website at morefairgame.org.